It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
This is Skunk Keen, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hi, this is Nathan, a.k.a. the Amethyst Dragon.
This is A. Rowan, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And you're listening to the 177th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the now live Neverwinter by Cryptic Entertainment. Well, tonight we have an outstanding lineup of guests. We have Skunk King, which is a former host of the Neverwinter and co-founder of the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And we have The Amethyst Dragon, which is an awesome content creator and a persistent world runner of the world of Anaea. And we got a lot of stuff to go over tonight, and we're going to just jump right into it. So starting off, welcome back, Skunk.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
It's an honor to have you on, first of all. I mean, I was introduced to you when you did our first PW interview when you interviewed us for Realms of Trinity. And, you know, we really appreciate you guys taking the time whenever you run the podcast to give us some spotlight and time to talk about our world. And your great reading of our story basis was outstanding.
Yeah, it's a wicked good time. It's amazing that y'all have carried the show together quite this long time. It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, followed in great footsteps. So, you know, we had to step up the game, you know. Well, yeah, get started. I mean, it's been a while. What have you been doing since you were on the podcast before? I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
I've been rocking it hard. I have been reading lots and lots of books. I've been studying like a mad wizard would, and I've been upping my game as well. So I created a company of my own. It's called Notestorm LLC. And from there, I published my own hard rock album with my band called The Claw Marks. Have you heard it?
I actually have, and you had forwarded me the information to be able to download it and be able to check it out before the podcast, and I got to say that it's outstanding. And if for anybody out there that's listening to this, Skunk is extremely talented and, you know, very gifted musician, writer, and, you know, his group is really putting out some top-notch stuff that you're going to be able to hear later in the podcast.
I was going to say, we should definitely put a sample in.
All we are. We are.
Yeah.
So how about the Neverwinter front? Have you been, since then, have you been getting into any gaming, or are you strictly stuck with your, like, just playing, you know, in your band and writing music?
Oh, I've been playing the latest Neverwinter game. I'm still quite the lowbie level character on there, but I've been exploring around, beating up skeletons, and it's an all right game so far. I'm eager to end up seeing what the tool set for it. Well, I know it's not called the tool set. It's like called the Foundry. And yep. I'm eager to end up exploring that and putting my storytelling skills to that. But yeah, the music thing has been occupying our time. We used to end up doing quite a few shows. We've been holding back on doing shows this past couple of months, playing at live venues with rock bands. I don't know if y'all ever heard of Psycho Stick. We jammed with them. That was fun. And quite a few other local acts here in the area. I want to end up making some music videos here soon. So I've been studying film and on top of my other stuff that would make a madman, like philosophy and literature and history.
Well, you've been keeping busy. There's no doubt about that. A lot of stuff going on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just to back up, I mean, what do you think? What's your opinions of the new Neverwinter? Like, just overall, like, just in detail after that.
One of my biggest regrets back in the day when Neverwinter Nights 2 released, it was really buggy, and I just criticized it to no end. And I don't want to end up doing that with this Neverwinter yet. I'm still exploring it. And they just released it brand new, and hopefully they're working out, you know, a few, you know, little quirks. So far, it seems pretty, seems all right. A little laggy in some areas, but that's to be expected. I don't believe I've developed a full informed opinion yet. I've been playing it and doing the little missions with the guards to defend Neverwinter, and it's been all right so far. I'm really eager to end up seeing the Foundry, and I haven't gotten there yet, and I will, and when I do.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. We've actually been messing with the Foundry for about 4 or 5 months now, and you know, since it was in beta status, and I've been working with Andy Velasquez, the lead producer, you know, giving him feedback and ideas and stuff like that. Supposedly they're getting ready to crank a lot of that stuff out, so it's only going to get better. And by the time you do get around to it, there's going to be a ton of features that, you know, to really make it really good to be able to produce good content, you know.
I hope so. And one of my biggest skepticisms is seeing what Cryptic's done to their other their other game worlds. They don't really seem to have a happy fan base with some of the other games that they've created. I mean, I have high hopes. I hope they're met.
Well, the one nice thing that we've seen from, you know, what we have been able to play with so far in it is the fact that it's a bit more intuitive than the old system. You don't have to go through list and list and list. You don't have to try and figure out, you know, tons of stuff, which I know for the super detailed modders must be a little bit frustrating right now. But, you know, for being able to, I want to make a room and then I want to put detailed items in it, it's a little bit easier for those of us who are sort of newer at it. And it sounds like they're going to add more and more detailed tool sets as they go along. So out of curiosity, what's the first thing you're thinking you're going to make, or would that be a secret?
It would be a secret. Sorry.
Fair enough.
If I don't get into, if I'm not really too fond of Neverwinter, I might possibly end up doing some other things. But I'm really eager to end up testing out the waters with it. Cool. Yeah, back in my day, Neverwinter Connections was quite the active scene. I was pumping out game events all the time, and I seemed to do pretty good. I believe I improved a lot of my skills for doing such, like my writing, and still working on my grammar and etiquette a little bit. But since I got a publishing company now, I'm also interested in possibly writing a little bit more. Cool. So those are just some of my personal options.
Yeah.
Always been quite a big fan of Gary Gygax, and it might be possibly time for me to end up creating my own setting, just like how y'all did with your ROT.
Yep. Touch on what you were saying there. I mean, you know, about working on your writing, your grammar, and all kind of different facets. A lot of people, you know, you have to understand that who listen to this who haven't actually delved into either module creation or any kind of content creation that has substance. You know, because you can make a persistent world that doesn't have substance. You know, just throwing areas out and stuff like that. But if you're going to actually put something together, it's a story and a background. And you know, Nathan, you know this from working on your persistent world. I mean, you gain a lot of skills over the time that you do it, and also you have a lot of freedom to grow as a content creator, whether you're writing or what, no matter what it is.
Oh, definitely.
Yep, and you could attest to this from your capabilities as an artist working on all the models that you've been working on. I mean,
yeah, a lot of potential there.
Yep. So definitely, I have to agree with you 100% that, you know, the work that you've done in the past definitely will that'll help you in a multitude of ways in all kind of different realms and facets. So no question. You know, well, you know, getting on to your music stuff. How did that get started? How did you get into, you know, coming into the music career?
Well, I always been fond of music. I was in a cover band during the couple times that I was on the podcast show here. And I had quite this annoying knack for changing the lyrics to some of the words for some of the songs. So, like, taking, like, Patrick Swayze's, like, she's like the wind and turning it to she's breaking wind. You know, it just didn't really help women to fawn over, you know, the show at venues. And so I finally ended up making a move and formed a band to make original music where it's all 100% my own. And that's, we went from there. The struggles with it has been mostly our equipment and finances. Nobody wants to pay musicians with anything else other than beer, which was all right. I could throw down with the best of them. I don't, speaking of beer, I've been wanting to end up listening to, well, I'm getting off track. I don't want to talk about beer with y'all. But
hey, we talk about all kinds of shit too, so don't worry.
Speaking of the podcast, who wants a strong drink?
I missed the sound of that dwarf from Neverwinter Nights 2 being mixed into the intro that I believe Trey or Jay ended up using to put in there.
Oh, yeah.
Something about a tankard, like, yep. Tilt back a tankard.
Yes, I do fully remember that. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, folks, if my nostalgia is getting the best of me, and hopefully it's not boring you. As far as my music goes, in the area here in Iowa, they really love their classic rock a whole lot. I never really got too fond of the idea of people, you know, trying to compare me to other musicians and artists and such out there. I really wanted to aim to making my own stuff. I guess that's why I developed kind of the cocky attitude of making comedy parodies out of other people's stuff. I don't mean no disrespect to the artists. It's like how Weird Al would just make it your own. And, you know, as long as I'm not like insulting, you know, the artist that made the songs, I'm free to make it my own, literally, if I wanted to.
I remember somebody being quoted as something along the lines of, you know, you've made it when Weird Al wants to do a parody of one of your songs.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd
like to hear some of yours.
Oh, really? All right. The Claw Marks doesn't have any parodies at all. It's 100% original rock.
Listen to that, too.
Little punky. I ended up throwing ideas around that I'll create a comedy rock album, and people are like, you know, what the heck ever, you know, because with the Claw Marks band, I'm very serious with the music. And yeah, if it was anybody else other than Weird Al Yankovic to parody such, I'd probably just rip off their damn heads.
So out of curiosity, gotta ask this for nerd credit, if nothing else. Why so serious?
Oh, because I seriously wanted to rock. I wanted to rock it hard. There's, 10th track on the album, you know, saying goodbye to people, like, well, I start into the whole album with a battle cry. It's a roar, just wanting to just charge into it. And then it finishes requesting women to show us their gazambas.
Does it use the word gazamba?
Yes. Well, I don't use the word gazambas in the song, but I'd named the song Gazambas, which that's probably the only thing. I don't have like an explicit lyrics tag attached to my music, but it is a medical term. And if you purchase my album over Reverb Nation, and to show my appreciation for gazambas, we are even donating half our album towards cancer benefits.
Cool.
So yeah, of
nice. Yeah, definitely. So anyway, so as far as marketing your album, have you gotten it on any venues yet for sale? Or
oh yes, our album is on sale at like over 30 online distributors around the world. Even we have a store in Australia. I believe it's getting hooked up into a place in France, and that's kind of interesting because they got like a whole complete different music model there, which I'm interested in seeing how that works out. They you know how, like in America here, they could, you know, you buy the music, but there, I guess all they have to do is watch a music video, and like they could obtain they could watch a commercial. They could watch a commercial, and then they obtain access to the downloads. It's weird. So I'm interested in how good are these commercials.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Right, it must be amazing stuff and worth it. But I don't know of anything of my music going into China yet. But we did hear that like Japan likes their rock and roll, so we have some music hopefully hitting there. I got some CDs shipping. Soon, I'm getting some more CD distributors. Right now, you can purchase a CD over Amazon.com, and I'm printing more off. I'm with a company. I'm getting more here ASAP. There's a humorous glitch on the back cover of one of them, but see if anybody notices that, and if you do, call 911. But yeah, we got a distribution's been going good. Marketing, on the other hand, though, is that I'm here now. I got the music CD released. I'm focusing more on my writing, and I'm hoping to publish a book here next soon of me actually chasing down and hunting down claims of people reporting real monsters in my area. So
interesting.
Are you gonna have fun with those Bigfoot people?
Oh. There hasn't really been too much Bigfoot people here in Iowa. There's been a couple of groups that talk about them that they go hunting. But I don't know what they're really doing out there, but I've
been drinking a lot.
But yeah, when people tell me that there's an interesting myth here and there's a interesting tale here. I've been the smart ass that's willing to go out there and, you know, write about it. So I've developed quite a collection of local myths and folklore that I've been putting together, and I hopefully it'd be great before October if I could end up getting the book financed and published.
Well, that's very cool. I mean, if anything we could do to help you out as far as, you know, get you know, back on the show and, you know, put some stuff on the site, we'd be more than happy to do that too, to help bolster you.
Oh, thank you, because that'd be great. So yeah, I went from displaying a bunch of fictional monsters here to hunting down what people claim are the real thing out there. I don't go into it believing automatically, you know, that's what's there. I don't try to debunk nothing. I just want to check it out, you know. And if there is something, I don't think I'm strong enough. I'm not that much of a tough guy to take on Bigfoot. But if I ever did catch his big butt, I could end up getting like $50 million or something, you know, for wrangling up his hairy ass. And
yep.
That's...
Yep.
Hey, nobody in my area says that they want to do any of those sort of things, and I want to do that.
Yep, that kind of reminds me of the show that we used to be on, I don't know, a while back now. Was that that one with Josh Gates, the Destination Truth? I don't know if you were watching that before, where he goes and he does the exact same thing you're talking about. They go, like, reporting claims of Bigfoot and this, that, and the other, and they go all around the world trying to hunt down these goofy-ass creatures, you know, whatever they might be, so... sells. It's old. I mean, it was on for like 4 or 5 seasons, so it wasn't exactly.
I don't think I had the energy to go around the world for stuff like that. I mean, like here in Iowa, have y'all? I don't watch TV that much, but like, have you ever heard any of the TV shows? Visit like the Axe Murderer house here in Iowa.
Which Axe Murderer?
Yeah, not the one from the NWN community, but I don't know if y'all remember him.
Yeah.
Axe? What Axe? I have no idea.
It's supposedly supposed to be one of the most haunted locations here in Iowa, and I got the chance to monitor some security cameras for a group there. So my eyes were in multiple places at one time, and how to put it, you know, the things I saw there were...
Was this a mental hospital, or...
No, it's a house. I'll tell you the background of
it. Oh, the Vasilla Axe Murder House.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yeah, a fan like 101 years ago, like in 1912, a family was murdered there in the house, and they it's been an unsolved mystery since. But and like dozens of ghost hunters go in there all the time, and this group that I was with, I can't say any names, you know, I don't want to slander and such, but there was I don't think the place is haunted. I don't. That's the summary, and I'll tell you why. I think there's more haunted people than there's haunted places, and that's the instance with that place. And you have if anything, it was like probably like the biggest botched investigation situation here in Iowa, and nobody talks about that. Like the sheriff that investigated purchased an axe from the local hardware store and presented it as evidence in a court case. And like right after all that happened in to that family, like the people in the city were going into the house and collecting souvenirs, including bone fragments that some people said, you know, off the bodies. So, I mean, the crime scene's totally contaminated, you know, and then when, you know, these people found out that, you know, probably from the my assumption is from when these people found out that the crime scene's contaminated, you know, and that nobody's being brought to justice, you know, the town people were just like, but yeah, nobody talks about that side of it. And not only that, some of the people that end up doing shows for that stuff, if you investigate them, and they're affiliated with actors' guilds, but they're not hooked up with scientists.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of that stuff, I mean, that's exactly where the realm really needs to be, is scientific investigations, you know, no question about it.
But the only issue is, too, is, I mean, it's sort of like half the creatures in Neverwinter Nights or any other game is somehow this stuff came to be, but where's your scientific system for let's go find a satire or let's go find a ghost or
right.
You know, I mean, I know they have ways, but you know, half the time, you know, and not to sound too much like a skeptic, but I know like those ghost shows, it's like, well, you know,
I hear shuffling,
a squirrel sneezed. Yeah, a squirrel sneezed somewhere, and that translates into the little voice thing going, I will kill all of you.
Yeah, well, you know, regardless, you know, that's the way it goes. But you know, as far as other stuff's concerned, do you have any are you got any plans this rest of the summer to maybe hit some of the game fairs or anything? Or
No, I have no plans on hitting game fairs. I'd like to produce more or market my album more, but I'm delving into writing a book next ASAP. I need more equipment for me to end up even humoring doing a second album. So I'll probably end up, if I end up hitting up any kind of crowdfunding service and such, which, I mean, as y'all, I know y'all are aware of, like Kickstarter with Obsidian's thing.
Exactly.
And but yeah, I'm thinking about hitting that up with my book, and you know, that's going to be my next challenge. And hope now that my music's out there, I feel like I immortalized something.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I have this sense of accomplishment there. So I want to move on to another challenge. I mean, I love music. I love singing. I love my rock band. And I mean, we're willing to do shows and house parties and such, but you know, now I have the company, I want to fulfill some more of my dreams and goals. And after doing games like Dungeons and Dragons and Neverwinter Nights for years, I want to give my hand at going out there and doing the real thing, looking for these mystical beasties and such.
Well, if you find them, let us know. And, you know, before we move on to the Amethyst Dragon, anything else that you'd like to share? I know we're going to put out links to your website, and we'll have, you know, samples obviously included in this podcast. and for people to listen to. And, you know, anything else you'd like to share before we move on?
Y'all sure you don't want me to turn on the webcam?
I'm pretty sure.
Brian wants to keep I think we should record Brian's reaction to the webcam.
Yeah.
I'm joking, fellas.
It's minimized on my screen. I say go for it.
I just had to push the limits there again because I tried so much back in the day with the podcast. To the NWN community, I dearly do miss y'all very, very much. I had a great time gaming with many of you and working with modules and such. And it would be great to ever someday have that opportunity again. I had a blast. I hope you check out some of my new work, and, you know, someday, somehow, you know, hopefully we can end up meeting again, all right? So that's what I want to tell y'all. Yeah, I dearly miss y'all very, very much.
And feel free to, you know, ping me up to come back on the show. You know, we would definitely love to have you back on and talk about your continued works with your book and your music, so.
All right. Thank you very, very much for having me on, fellas.
And before we move on to the Amethyst Dragon, I want to play a title from Clawmark's album entitled Burn, Baby, Burn.
For the Piggy Cherry Band. Can you see me smoking? Can you see me smoking? Can you see me? Don't stop, drop, and roll if you have a burning soul from a fire that you stole. Wrap around the ball, wrap around the ball, wrap it, wrap it. This is when things get hot, and it ties you off in a knot. This is where things get hot, ooh, hot.
Amethyst Dragon. So how's it going, man? How's everything going with your Persistent World?
Busy. Well, yeah, Persistent World and everything else. Yeah, rather busy. And yep. I've been taking a little time away from Neverwinter Nights 1 to experiment with Neverwinter.
Yay! But,
well, I would ask you the same question I asked Skunk. What do you think so far? What's your initial impression so far?
It's an okay game. To me, it's not Neverwinter, but that's because, you know, I'm a Neverwinter Nights 1 guy and a custom content guy, so I prefer everything to be changeable on my end, whether, you know, changing the look of something or adding something completely different. But it'll get a lot more people into gaming in the Forgotten Realms. I've actually played up to level 60 on a Trickster Rogue.
Nice.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, that's, so I take it you've gotten pretty far into the content to get to level 60.
Yeah, the adventures and the quests and a lot of the environments are really nice. And in fact, I can't even run them on my personal laptop. I have to use my wife's newer one. But yeah, it's pretty decent for a game to run through. I probably won't do it again because I'd be doing the same quest just with a different class. But evidently they keep adding stuff. I've seen word of like level 60 dungeons and stuff, but I haven't really grouped up with anybody because I play at odd times and for short amounts of time, so I can't really do much with group. Let's see, I've checked out the Forge is their tool set?
The Foundry.
Foundry. Forge, Foundry. They both start with an F and have to do the same thing. I don't know. I guess I'm just too much into the regular Neverwinter tool set where I can do and change anything that I want.
Right.
You know, I played a bunch of the little user-generated Foundry adventures, and some of those are fun, some of them are humorous, and some are longer and some are shorter. But almost every one of them now has this little disclaimer at the front. We have no control over the end treasure. Sorry. But, and let's see, I think I've played probably a dozen or so of those. I think the last one I played, I got something my rogue could use. The rest of it I've just sold because it was for other classes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As far as area layouts, you can add stuff here and there, and you get to pick from a bunch of different maps and terrains and add stuff in, and it's got potential, especially on the storytelling side. Not really on the custom content side like I'm dealing with Neverwinter Nights, but yeah, there's a lot of potential for storytelling stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there is one. The one thing that, you know, I stuck out to me, I guess it's because of being in Neverwinter Nights 2 for so long, is having the full terrain editing to be able to build your area exactly the way you want it and not be, you know, tied to a flat map that you just drop stuff on, you know?
Yeah, it's nice having 3D. My rogue takes advantage of that all the time.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
True, but 3D.
Yeah, true 3D. Yep.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. I mean, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of potential, and I think that there's going to be more coming down the pike. I know there's going to be more coming down the pike. It's just that, you know, getting it rolled out amidst with all the other content that they have planned and add-ons and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. But it's still early. I mean, this game was just released on June 20th, so you can't – you know, it hasn't even been out a month yet, so you know – it ain't going to be the same type of thing that we're used to dealing with where, you know, stuff's been pretty much fully matured over the years by the community, such as yourself and others.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot they can do with it still. So, and plus, you know, they have people that pay to do stuff in the game. So it's a free-to-play, but some of the stuff you need money for.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. So there's potential to pay people to keep working on it.
Yep, yep. That's a big difference. No question about that. How about the custom content challenge? Do you have anything going on currently, or did any just wrap up? Or
we're just wrapping up June's theme, which was old school D&D stuff, like first edition, second edition, chainmail, that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
And so I'm getting the last submissions in. I think I'm waiting on one more thing, and then I'm gonna put together a couple of demo modules that people did and put them into one to showcase all the stuff. We just got started on July's thing. We started a week late because we thought the old vault was completely down and we're going to spend all our time on getting stuff going on the new vault. Let's see. This month is Lost and Forgotten, so like Lost Civilizations and Old Temples and stuff like that.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. We've been posting the files on Rollkip's new vault instead of the old vault for the last couple months. Just to make sure that they're live and they don't go down anytime soon.
Yep.
But like links to all the old stuff and the new stuff I've still got on the community site in the custom content section. So whether it's on the old vault or the new vault, the links are all in one place.
Which is great. I mean, yeah, I was surprised about that. whenever it went down originally, I got an email from, I don't know if it was Roller Kev, his handle was Pain. I'm not exactly sure if it was him or not, but he said that he was one, you know, working on that to get everything ported over.
Yeah, I think he's really deep into programming stuff. I'm not really a programmer, but yeah, Pain Eternal, Pain of Dungeon Eternal. He goes by a couple of different usernames.
Yep.
Yeah, he appears to be a very talented programmer who can do practically anything. So he's working on getting all the old Vault content transferred over to the new Vault. Once I got the content there, then they plan on getting all the old comments and all the old votes and the Hall of Fame tags and all that stuff transferred over too.
Yeah, well, that was a lifesaver. I mean, if and when it ever does officially go down, I mean, at least we'll have the backup of it and a way to cut over pretty much seamlessly. I mean, that's a shame. You know, that you know as well as anybody how much content's out there. And it's just a wealth of knowledge, you know, especially if you have any interest in you know, any type of NWN2 either development or even playing, because just for the single module player aspect.
Oh, there's so much on that site, and it's nice that it'll have a new home if and when, you know, the old vault goes down. It went down for days. Turns out it was a DNS issue.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
They got that straightened out, so the old vault is back up and running. Or accessible. It was always there. It was just not accessible to most people. But from what I've heard, and this is, what, third hand, fourth hand, from IGN to Maximus to Rollo to me to whoever, but evidently IGN, or I think they got bought out recently or something, but
yeah,
they're going to leave the vault there. It's just not going to be supported.
So okay.
The content will be there until, you know, something happens to that hardware, and then they'll be like, you know, we're not supporting it anymore, so we're not going to put out on new hardware, but it'll be there for like an archive or whatever.
Right.
Maximus is moving on to, I think I heard, Blizzard, so he's got a nice new job there.
Wow.
Yeah, the old vault's still there. I'm still running little site ads, the free ads on the front page, so if anyone wants to use the form and submit those, I still take care of those.
Oh, you're handling them yourself.
I'm doing those myself. I volunteered with, I don't know if it was, I think it was with Rollo, and said, hey, if you guys need any help with this, because it was coming up with no more ads and mine weren't showing up, and so
yeah,
he got me added as a, I think, a partial admin or something there at the old vault, and said, here, you can be in charge of ads and here's how you do it.
Well, that's pretty damn cool though, because that's really, it really does help.
Yeah,
you know, people getting their stuff out, it does help.
He added me as an admin on the new vault too, just so that, you know, there'd be like three or four backup people in case he has to go offline.
Right.
Whereas like the regular vault, you got like one person in charge and you got to get hold of that person.
Right. Well, I mean, I think part of the success for a site like that, I mean, or lack thereof, you know, if it isn't being supported or maintained, I mean, then you get that, like, okay, I put my stuff out there, nobody's doing nothing with it, sitting for a couple weeks, months. I mean, it's like, wow. If you have a set of people who can maintain it, such as yourself and others, that, you know, get to like a pool of support, that really does make a big difference. At least people's perception of the site.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's stuff being added and updated every once in a while. It's a live site. People are going to use it. If it hasn't been updated in weeks or months, people are going to go, well, I guess it's dead and we're going to move on. And let's see. The vault is Neverwinter Nights, and nowhere else has all this stuff. I think I'm just going to stop playing.
Yep, exactly right. That's totally right.
Like, I keep putting stuff out and linking to it, and go over to GOG's website where they're selling it, and you get new players who have no clue that the vault exists. So you gotta tell them about it and say, "Hey, go look over here."
Yeah, that's always been a big thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we stuck that section on the podcast website for the content showcase. You know, so people can get the links and stuff, even if they happen to stumble on our site first. You know, it's hard to say if you do a Google search. You know, we might come up. All right, they might see our site, or they might see the vault first. You know, it just all depends.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have consistency in the linking, so that, you know, that also helps build each other's sites up, so that we actually all come up to, for people to check out, you know, to get more information.
Definitely.
We've talked about this before, is, you know, we're like right now, like the marketers, you guys do what we do, what other people do, you know, we're like marketing the product at this point of the game, and to keep it alive and keeps copy selling. GOG really isn't marketing it that much, other than like putting special promos up. You know, buy Neverwinter Nights complete for $10 this week, or so, you know, stuff like that. I mean, that's not, a lot of people end up buying the game for $10-$20, and then they get in, they play the original campaign, they don't even realize the main reason why the game still exists. which is
multiplayer.
Yeah, multiplayer.
Multiplayer, user-generated modules, stuff that hasn't been paid for.
So, I mean, there's a big deal right there, and I think in one of our objectives in our upcoming appearance at Gen Con is going to be heavily to be pushing Neverwinter Nights. And nice. we're going to be there officially, to talk with the CEO of Cryptic Entertainment, Jack Emmert, but on the side note, we're also going to be plugging what we do. I mean, Neverwinter Nights, Neverwinter Nights 2, and we're going to be having the documentation, the flyers and stuff that we put up, instead of just putting stacks of flyers like we did last time and walk around, talk to people. We're actually going to be getting more, into places where they're doing heavy pen and paper stuff, and we're really going to be asking people and talking to people, even if it's one by one. Ben and I, we're going to be going through a lot of that with people, so it should really help increase the people's knowledge of the product. So
you say, hey, do you want to play the closest thing there is to actual Dungeons and Dragons on the computer? Neverwinter Nights, Neverwinter Nights 2. There is nothing closer.
Nope, I agree. I mean, it is black and white. There's no in betweens on this one. I mean, it really is. And the fact that I always come back to that example that we and you talked about before, Nathan, is the fact that how you even programmed in the Tensor's floating disk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I bring it up, and I brought it up in the past, is that's the kind of stuff that makes Neverwinter Nights Neverwinter Nights.
Yep.
Period.
Oh, I love that spell. I don't mind you bringing it back up again.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear it. Because I will. Because the bottom line is when you get down to it, you had the capability of doing that. Yeah, it may not. Sometimes you got to kind of wedge it in there somehow with the engine, but at the same time, you do have a lot of flexibility, a lot of capability to actually realize your thoughts and what you really like to see in the game.
Yeah, a little free model making program with GMax and a little scripting in the tool set, and you can do pretty much anything you want.
And that's the beauty of it. And I think at the end of the day, if for some reason, I know when we talked to Fergus Urquhart, the CEO of Obsidian, I know what they were talking about, and they were in talks about getting the rights back to the game, to be able to do stuff with Neverwinter Nights 2 again. Not necessarily directly, but to at least even be able to update it, release it, whatever, to sell it again. Stuff like that, I mean, even if Obsidian BioWare would actually be able to say, hey, look, we're remaking Baldur's Gate, these side-scroller games, they were good, I'm not busting on Baldur's Gate for people out there.
Oh, I had fun with that.
I did too. It's one of my favorite RPGs, and it always will be. But my point is Baldur's Gate was great as a RPG, D&D 2.0. It was great. But when it comes down to you being able to get involved and to do your stuff, there's nothing better than Neverwinter Nights.
Nope.
And that's what I'm coming back to, is the fact that if they were able to re-release the game, I mean, it keep the engine the same, but with more stuff that people can use, or even, multi-core support, 64-bit, all that good stuff, and maybe a couple other bells and whistles. Hell, even like the auto-downloader for Neverwinter Nights 1, right?
Yeah.
We got it for Neverwinter Nights 2. Why not retrograde it back to Neverwinter Nights 1 and do the same thing? And that kind of stuff. And get things.
Oh, of course, then people would have to wait, 2 hours to get into My Persistent World.
Well, just the first time.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of got to do that now, right? Though you still need to download the hacks and stuff for Neverwinter Nights 1.
They do. I added it up about a month ago between CEP and Project Q, which I use, and all my own hack. It's just under 10 gigabytes decompressed.
That's beefy. That's beefy.
10 gigs of hacks on my hard drive. Just to play in My Persistent World.
Wow.
Man.
That's impressive, dude.
That's 48 hacks.
I mean, that's some beef. There's no question. I know what you're saying, though.
There's awesome stuff that people have made and are still making. Project Q is still chugging along. They're still making stuff. I've heard a rumor of a 2.5 on CEP, but no release date or any detail.
Uh-huh.
And then, I'm going to be updating my own hack in a couple of days, I think, with a couple of new Earth Elemental variants.
Well, I don't know. It's nonstop. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you start looking at it like that, it's like, wow. I mean, it's just nonstop development. And, people who don't understand. I don't know. It's I know you got different perspectives. You know, we talk to the audience. You know, you have developers, you have players, you have people who still love the game just for the game's sake, who don't play anymore, but you know they love the game still. That you know when you start talking about all these different pieces of work, they all mean something different to everybody else. Some people think of, hey, custom content, that's great and all, but they look at it from the perspective, well, hey, if this world uses it or this module uses it, I want to check it out. So yeah. That's definitely there.
Yeah, one of the good things is I think by now most serious players have the two big packages, the CP and Project Q. So somebody who wants to develop new stuff, they don't actually have to download as much stuff.
Right, that's true. I know that, you know, talking to the guys, you know, we've interviewed both CEP folks and the Project Q folks, you know, and I know how dedicated they are to producing those packs and how much time and effort they put in. I mean, hell, you've seen the Project Q website.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely impressive. And that kind of stuff is what I'm talking about. And that's what we're going to try to get out there even more so this year at Gen Con, because we're going to be there. See, the difference between this year, our event that we're doing this year and what we've done last year, first of all, it's me and Ben. So it's two direct podcast members going. And last year I had my gaffer, you know, he's my lighting guy and my video camera stuff and the videos and everything. But this year, Ben and me are going as official staff capacity, which helps because we can get out there and we can start getting stuff, talking to people and attending conferences and actually even setting up our own conferences, which is important because and the fact that we're going to be there for 5 days. So,
oh, nice.
So we got the full gambit this time. Last time we were kind of hustling around. We only had a couple interviews to do, but most of the work that we did was more on talking to the people that we were scheduled to talk to, and we really weren't able to get to anywhere else because that's the only time we had. We were only there for 2 days, and
yeah.
The first day we got there, we were traveling, so yeah, so that's not exactly conducive to getting a lot done. So
get there and you're just dragging.
Yeah, and that's the other challenge of doing two appearances in 1 year. I mean, in one summer, we had to go to Columbus first, and Ben made a major trek out from Syracuse to Columbus for that first one, and he was already obliterated from that, so he couldn't get to the second one, because he had the work and everything else to deal with. So by the time we got back from that, you know, it just was too much. This year, we focused on Gen Con, since it's the bigger of the two conventions, and it's more conducive to the crowd that we're looking for. You know, we were in Origins, it's more all over, you know. Yeah, they have pen and paper stuff there for D&D, but it's mostly all kind of other stuff too. Whereas card games, I want to say bull crap, but stuff that has nothing to do with what we do. And where Gen Con, on the other hand, it has a ton of Dungeons and Dragons content there, as well as official Wizards of the Coast, Hasbro people who are pushing the pen and paper like in a big way.
Yeah, I remember that. I've been there a few times, for like a decade, but yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking. I mean, you see in our video from last year that I just reposted last week. I mean, you see the setup that they had just for Rise of the Underdark. Yep. So, I mean, it was very impressive to be there, and it's very impressive to be able to talk to direct Wizards of the Coast staff that are working on these products. I mean, I've never been able to directly talk to a game maker, you know, pen and paper official game maker, and that was pretty cool, you know. You know, something interesting else too that I don't think we – I don't know. I can't remember if we covered it in our interview with her or not, but when we talked to her off camera, Shelly from Wizards of the Coast, you know, we were talking to her about Neverwinter Nights 2 and Neverwinter Nights 1 in the community and stuff, and she had no idea that stuff was being done.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, I vaguely recall that game, and
yeah,
it was an okay game, but you know, by the end of the campaign, I was pretty much done. So then I quit playing. That's the most I get a lot of times when I mention the game. I'm like,
it bothers you, don't it?
It's alive.
It bothers you. You get irritated. You get agitated.
EA is not keeping it alive, but the players and the builders are.
Absolutely, and Well, that comes back to the point. It's like when after we discussed it, I showed her our literature. You know, I had our flyers that I think it was you gave me the flyer for Neverwinter Nights 1, right?
I don't remember.
I got one from last year for Neverwinter Nights 1 as well. I had two of them. I had one for us and one for Neverwinter Nights 1. Period.
I think I given you the website. I don't remember. I might have made a flyer. I don't remember. It's been a year.
Yeah, I think it was you because you had the link to your site on there. The other that Neverwinter Nights info site. That's exactly what it was. Well, anyhow, I showed her that, and you know, I discussed with her about that, and she was thoroughly impressed that that stuff was still going on in the community for Neverwinter Nights. That, you know, that there was that level of customization capable, as well as people actually knocking it out of the park every day.
Yeah, and people playing. I've still got players on my world.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm talking about. So be a dead horse, we're getting close to the cutoff here, but you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we have a lot of opportunities. I think we need to continue to do what we're doing, and we're going to increase even so this year. You know, it costs us a lot of money to go out there. It's not like it's free, you know, for us to go out to Gen Con. It's free attendance because of our status, but with our press and
stuff. You still got to get out there and bring all your stuff.
Hotel, four or five nights at a hotel. Ben can attest to the cost since he booked the rooms.
Yeah, it's the reason I can't go anymore.
Yeah, it's tough, ain't it? And so, well, anything else? You know, anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap up?
Not that I can think of at the moment. I'll probably think of something in a couple of minutes after we're done. But,
well, you know, you're welcome to come back on as well. You know, and give us updates, and you know, anytime you need something to go over, if you have anything you want to go over, you want to get another episode recorded, you know, we're more than available to do so. Just give me a ping.
Oh, sure. I have no problem with coming on and chatting about anything or promoting my own stuff or whatever.
Yep. Hey, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. So in closing, too, from our side, one of the things that we want to point out, too, I know that we didn't do a news segment this episode because we have two interviews, but we are in talks with Cryptic to actually get a direct interview with Jack Emmert, and he is the CEO of Cryptic, and we're going to, you know, get a sit down with him at Gen Con as well. He's going to be putting on a conference there on Neverwinter and about the release and talking to, you know, giving a media presence for that there. We're going to be attending that as well as other things we discussed in the last episode of the podcast. And we're also going to be getting a good face-to-face sit-down interview with Jack. So it's something we've been waiting for a long time, or since we first interviewed Shane Hensley, and because he was personal friends with him and he, you know, pointed us in their direction a long time ago. Just the schedules never worked out in the past. You know, we were out there last year because he was there too, but the schedule didn't work out. So we weren't able to get there to meet him. So this year, hopefully, are all the moons and stars aligned over Faerun here. And
well, that's pretty cool. Gen Con's actually where I first ever saw a Neverwinter Nights 1 demo.
Wow.
The BioWare guys were there, and they were doing a little demo up on a video projector. And, like, here's, you know, a little bit of the game. And, oh, here's the tool set. You can do this, this, this. Lay it down. Drop it in. Here, let's fight some goblins, and let's throw a demon in there. Here's how you customize the armor. Here's how you change up the swords. I'm like, I want it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Get it out. And I had to wait another couple of years.
That had to hurt. I mean, to actually be able to see that there, like, I'm not be able to use it for that much later.
Yeah, and then I had to wait another year before I could afford to buy a computer that would run it.
Yep. Yeah, same with Neverwinter Nights 2. It was very, very intensive. Even with good computers, the tool set was a piece of shit to run. I mean, it was terrible. Until we finally got some beefy computers that really made a big difference. So
Gen Con and Neverwinter go together.
They do. They do. And anybody listen to this, you're going to be in Gen Con. You know, if you see us in our snazzy Neverwinter Nights shirts, you know, stop by and you know, have a chat with us. We're more welcome to talk to you about anything about Neverwinter Nights.
Definitely. Hit them up.
Yep. Well, hey, Skunk, you still there?
Yo-ho.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you the closing line.
Until next time,
get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.